Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Walk along Lemon Street, just a block north of the B&O Railroad Museum on Pratt Street, and you'll pass a row of little red brick alley houses. They were built in the 1840s for immigrants from the Great Famine in Ireland, immigrants who had come to work in the rail yards. The houses were boarded up for decades, and the city eventually made plans to raise them. But in the 1990s, a group of citizens stopped the demolition and raised money to restore the houses. Today, one of the homes looks just as it would have in the 1840s. Next door is a museum. Tuesday evening, Baltimore Heritage will lead a tour of the museum. And joining me now is the president of the Irish Railroad Workers Museum, Michael Mellett. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for having me.
Now, one of the houses looks like a typical 1840s Irish immigrant family house. Who actually lived in that house?
Well, what we discovered when the houses were found and we moved to save them, as we started researching who lived there, we discovered a family in Ireland, a family from Ireland, an immigrant family, moved into those houses in the 1860s, and they owned the homes into the early 1900s.
Who was that family?
They were called the Feelys, James and Sarah Feely. Interestingly, her last name was Liberty, and he worked at the B&O in the rail yards.
Doing what?
He started off as a laborer. He had a long career there. We've been able to research with the records. And by the end of his career, he was a boilermaker, which is a top mechanic.
So did he, when he moved in, did he own this house?
No, they originally started renting. We do know that they came to New York in 1847, and they made their way down to Baltimore. The B&O at that time actually would have advertised for workers. So it's quite possible that he went to Baltimore knowing that he was looking to maybe work for the railroad.
Do we have any idea whether he had done that kind of work before?
We don't. We don't. But we're making discoveries, new discoveries all the time with, you know, the increasing digitization of records. So that's very exciting for us. We've made some new discoveries.
Like what?
Recently, for instance, we found evidence of a trip that they took through St. Peter's Church. They would have fundraisers. St. Peter's the Apostle Church on Poppleton Street, which was built by Irish immigrant labor in the 1840s. They went on a what they called excursion trips down, leaving from Baltimore down to like St. Michael's. And we made that discovery, and we recently found an ancestor who actually had some photographs.
Of the Feely family?
Of the Feely family.
On this excursion?
Well, they're in bathing suits. I'm not sure if it's from that specific excursion, but yes, from that time period.
On WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Michael Mellett, president of the Irish Railroad Workers Museum. Tell me more about the B&O advertising for employees. Were they particularly trying to recruit Irish immigrants?
Well, it was work that the Irish thrived on. It was very, very hard work. What was attractive to the Irish was it was consistent pay. But they needed, they needed men who were not afraid. It was very, very dangerous work as well. The Irish as a new immigrant group, that was something, the fact that they could get a steady paycheck was very important to them, and they flocked to West Baltimore to work at the B&O by the thousands.
So this was around the time of the Civil War that James Feely came.
Yes, yes.
And did that factor into the work of the railroad?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it did. We know the furnaces there were burning, running 24/7, with rails being ripped up during the war. They were sent back to Mount Clair, right there at Poppleton and Pratt, re-galvanized and sent back down the line. So the amount of iron that was being forged and reforged, it actually opened the door to some new techniques of that kind of metalworking, because what they found, as they did it over and over again, the iron became stronger.
Other immigrant groups in addition
to the Germans,
to the Irish?
At the same time that the Irish were flocking to the area, there was also an influx of German immigrants. The Germans were fantastic metal workers.
Who else?
Around the turn of the century, going into the 1900s, the Lithuanians moved into the area after the Great Fire in Baltimore. A lot of the destruction that happened downtown did not come over to the west side. So a lot of the Lithuanians and Jewish population were in the shirt manufacturing, tailor type business, and a lot of their operations moved right up on Poppleton Street.
There were, going into the Civil War, already a lot of free blacks living in Baltimore. Were they in this part of the city?
Yes, they were. If you went to the top of Poppleton Street, what I mean is north on Poppleton, up towards Mulberry, there was a street and still exists, Sarah Ann Street. And in that area, there was a large population of free blacks. And at that time, the largest population, community population of free blacks anywhere in the United States. And they also contributed to the railroad. A lot of them would have been blacksmiths. And just like today with subcontractors, they would have done a lot of work subcontracted to the railroad and for middlemen who would then bring the materials to the railroad.
The B&O did not hire blacks directly.
Not before the Civil War. Huh. No.
So these Irish immigrants on Lemon Street, what did their world look like to them?
Well, what was wonderful for them coming into that community, they had everything they needed within walking distance. They had their church, which was a major part of their lives, the Catholic Church of St. Peter's, Holland's Market, which still exists today, one of the earliest markets in Baltimore from the 1830s, existed then. So, that, you know, their fresh fruit, vegetables, those types of things. So Mrs. Feely would have just walked two or three blocks to Holland Street or Holland's Market to get her goods. There are pubs for social scenes, you know, on every corner. You know, that men had, you know, for the first time in their lives, many of these immigrants, a little bit of disposable income, so they would be able to, you know, have a Friday night and go out and enjoy themselves. So everything was right there in the neighborhood. And some were lucky enough to stay in Baltimore and continue to work at the rail yards. But many also went west with the railroad and worked on the lines.
And back into the 20th century, these homes were boarded up for a long, long time before they were restored. When did that world of the railroad and its workers disappear?
Well, the last big push at the Mount Clair yards was World War II. You know, with everything going on with the war, there was kind of a revival there of work to be done. But after World War II, that rail yard kind of went into decline. By that time, you know, the rail had pushed very far west all across the country. And there were other areas that could do some of the work that they were doing in their own areas. So it kind of started to dwindle.
I'm really grateful to you for walking us through it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Michael Mellett is president of the Irish Railroad Workers Museum, the only museum devoted to the 19th century home of a working class, not a wealthy, family. Baltimore Heritage leads a tour of the museum Tuesday evening. You can buy tickets and get more information about it at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too.